that was perfect timing. We couldn't do that again if we tried. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to our service of worship for this morning. It is good that we can gather in the house of the Lord this morning and offer him our praise and thanksgiving for all the good things that God has done. We welcome you who are here in the sanctuary and all those who join us online and pray that this will be a service of blessing to you all. The slides at the beginning of worship contain the announcements, so please, I hope you were paying attention to some of them as they flip through. Next Sunday. I'm not doing well with dates on this event. Next Sunday, we're doing the book exchange here at St. John's. So if you have books around your house that you're thinking you'd like to get rid of so that you can bring more in, then this is the perfect event for you. So please do make note of that. Brenda will be here. You're not doing it this week, Brenda? Barb's doing it this week. Cool. Barb will be here on Thursday from 1 to 2 to receive books. And if you have books and you can't make it on Thursday, we're always here at the church office. So give us a buzz. Let us know you're coming, and we'll receive books at other times too. There is a special time, and you get to see Barb and not me. So, you know, it's worth it to plan for that time. But we're going to be doing the book exchange after worship next week. And part of that is we will have Lily Worrell with us to sign some of her books. So there you go. See the book making room so that you can bring home a new book on the history of the Woodlawn Cemetery here in Cornwall. Part of the support for that event for the publication of that book came through the Colleen Cox Fund of the congregation. So please make note of that. All the information has been before you and is on the insert this morning. So do pay attention to those things. Sunday school is, I don't see a lot of young people this morning, Trish, but Trish is all ready. And we're doing vineyards. The parable of the vineyard and the vineyard worker. So I hope you noticed, Trish, we picked the bulletin cover just for you. We didn't, but you know. But it happened nicely, and I kind of went on Friday afternoon as we were putting the bulletin together. Kismet. So we do have Sunday school and nursery provided downstairs for young people. During the summer, I think I mentioned back in July before I left, always difficult to forecast kind of what givings are going to look like during the summer months. Depends who's traveling, how exotic our trips are, how long we're away, those sorts of things. But a givings update is included in the bulletin for you. We fell slightly short of our goal for the summer months. So if you can assist with that, that would be terrific, and help us get on the right track as we resume worship for the fall. And two very important announcements. First, if you know somebody in hospital, or if that somebody in hospital is you, let us know that you have gone into hospital here at the church or through your elder, and the elders hopefully are telling the minister when people go into the hospital. The reality is there's years ago there used to be a book or something that clergy could look at and find out who was in hospital, and those books simply do not exist anymore. And so if you don't tell us, we don't know. So please let us know, and we'll be happy to drop by and see how you're doing and offer prayers and other support So that's the first pastoral care-related announcement. The second pastoral care-related announcement has to do with prayer during public worship, which has also become a bit of a thornier issue over the years. We're going to try to get that back on track as well. If there are things particularly that are affecting you that we would appreciate prayer on a Sunday morning for, we have an excellent prayer team that does prayer outside of the worship hour. But if you wish to be included in the Sunday morning prayers, there is a clipboard on the table just over Ken Ferguson's shoulder, and you can write what your request is there, and we will grab those and make reference to them each week. Brenda, session met this week, and Brenda is going to come forward and share with us some of the things that happened at the session meeting.
Good morning. The session met on Tuesday, September the 12th at 7 p.m. Reverend Adams constituted the court with a prayer and a reading from Exodus chapter 14, verses 19 to 31. Which tells the story of God guiding Moses as he led the people of Israel from Egypt. The people were afraid and wanted to return to Egypt because it was familiar. The road ahead brought change and challenge, but God had a different plan for them and they needed to trust in him. The Sixth Street Cemetery Committee reported they had a meeting scheduled for Thursday, September the 14th. The plan to hold a dinner on September the 30th was postponed. The committee will consider feedback and come to session with a new date and plan. If you'd like to participate in this, please speak to John Adams, Kemple Barath, or Church Brown. Kemple Barath will be our presbytery representative with John Adams serving as the alternate. Carol Asdell reported that 61 people shared communion in June with 9 receiving cups to use at home. Carol Asdell reported that there were 4 applicants for the McRae Nursery and recipients will be present with the prize on Sunday, October the 8th. Cynthia Sagan reported that a few projects were completed over the summer, including work in the front entrance, waxing and burnishing the gym floor, replacing the garden outside the kitchen door with sod, gutter cleaning, and minor repairs. A repair will be made at the east set of doors in the gym. It was mentioned that the gym floor, which is a big source of revenue, is tired and may need to be replaced in the near future. Another future project will be to replace the tables in the McClellan Room. Michelle Alexis reported that the worship music met on Thursday, September the 7th. They discussed plans for a commemorative planting in honor of Reverend Dr. Fred Rainey in September 2024. The trumpeter has been secured for Remembrance Day, and Christmas planning is underway. The committee is looking for ideas for different types of services that may be held outside of the regular Sunday time. If you have any ideas, please speak to Michelle or put them in the thoughts and wishes box. Kemple Barath shared the finance report. Reverend Adams reported the session will begin a study on the book I Am a Church Member by John Renier. Over the coming months, session will consider 2 questions coming from General Assembly. The first one is the children of the Lord's table and the issue of ordination and marriage of LGBTQ+. Thank you.
Thank you, Brenda. And as we come and worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign that Christ is the light of the world and that we as his disciples seek to walk in his path and follow his ways. This morning's call to worship is a responsive call and will appear before you on the screens. Let us stand as we come into the presence of our Lord this morning and offer our praise and thanksgiving. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or you had formed the earth and the world. Asking to everlasting, you are God.
Teach us, Lord, to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Christ our Lord.
Let us pray. God of every time and place, apart from you, our life is brief and meaningless. In you, we experience endless abundance. Reveal to us all we can comprehend of our place in your design for eternity. Help us to receive each new day as a gift and to use your gift wisely and well, so that we may live in joy, and bring glory to Christ your Son, our Lord. Amen. This morning's opening hymn is 321 in the Book of Praise. Praise my soul, praise to the Lord, the Almighty. The hymn is in the Book of Praise or will appear before you on the screen. Friends, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." In obedience to Christ, let us come now confessing our sins as we say as we say the prayer of confession, which will appear on the screen and is a responsive prayer. Lord, you said, if you love me, you will obey what I command. Lord, you said, you may ask for anything in my name.
Forgive us when we think we need to solve our own problems.
Lord, you said, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid.
Yet our lives are often consumed by worry and anxiety.
Lord, you said, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit.
Yet we confess to living barren lives.
Lord, you said, you must testify, for you have been with me.
Yet too often we have been silent.
Lord, you said, love each other as I have loved you. May Almighty God, who caused light to shine out of darkness, shine in our hearts, cleansing us from all our sins and restoring us to the light of the knowledge of God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. And once more we turn in praise, singing the hymn, Bring Many Names, number 310 in the Book of Praise, or as it appears on the screen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Now, this morning, as the hymn indicated just a second ago, I want you to think for a minute about the ways that we think about God. And God of many names, right? Like, we all have our names or how we choose to describe God, the way that we maybe refer to God in prayer. So I want you to think for just a minute. How do you refer to God? So think that for a minute. And then just share whatever your thought is, your answer, with somebody who's sitting around you. And I'll come and I'll share with Valerie, because Valerie's kind of up here by herself this morning. Want to share up front what you said? I think my microphone was still on. So you heard my answer, which is I often default to the ideas of loving God and merciful God. So and that even, I'm sure I'm not telling you anything you don't already know, because you get to hear me pray each week. So, but were there other things? Other names for God? David. Guide. That's excellent. One or two others? Good, gracious, loving. All those big words that we learned in the catechism: omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. Anybody use those still? Every now and then I pull them out, dust them off, and I use them in worship. But right now I was thinking about that because, of course, one of the things that shows up in there I am. I'm trying to figure. Sorry, I was just walking off the camera, and the guys at the back hate that when I disappear. I was thinking about that because, of course, in the Gospel of John, Jesus has different names that he uses to apply to himself, right? And in fact, many years ago, I did a sermon series on the I am sayings of Jesus. The I am sayings. So Jesus says, I am. And indeed, we've got one of the I am sayings today, and next week or the week after, we'll do another. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I think we did that one just before I went on vacation. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I am the vine. So Jesus has all these different ways that we find in John's gospel that he refers to himself, and each gives us just a glimpse of who Jesus is in his fullness and who God is in his fullness. The same we've been talking here throughout the week about that hymn that we just sang, which is both inclusive and yet limiting, if you think about each of those verses, because each takes an aspect of God as we would understand him, perhaps using our own life as a model. So we get a bit, because, of course, we each in our own way and in our in whatever stage of life we find ourselves are the image of God. And yet we all know that none of those images is complete. It all always requires us to think more. But the only way we can ever try to comprehend God is to kind of see him through who we are, and yet to acknowledge that he is greater than us. It's that both and. So that is kind of what was portrayed in the hymn, I think, this morning, and is portrayed in these names that we've shared both amongst us here, and as Jesus shares them in his own teachings, as we hear them in the Book of John. So we can be mindful of that, and always find new ways to think about and describe God, so that we describe God in his fullness. It's always our aim. So thank you for sharing that little time of sharing and for being present with us this morning. I don't know, Trish, we do have a youth program downstairs for the young ones who might want to go. So Trish is going to go down, and we'll see if anybody follows her. Let us come before God now in prayer. Let us pray. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, O Lord, speak to us through these scriptures, that we might see Jesus, who is our way, our truth, and our life. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, reading verses 1 to 7. My child, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For lengths of days and years of life and abundant welfare they will give you. Do not let loyalty and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will find favor and high regard in the sight of God and of people. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Our second reading is a responsive reading, Psalm 90. The responses you're invited to join in will be indicated on the screens. So please join me in the responsive psalm. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations.
Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you have formed them in the earth, in the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God.
You turn us back to dust and say, turn back, you mortals.
For a thousand years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. Or like a watch in the night.
You sweep them away. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning.
In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers.
For we are consumed by your anger. By your wrath we are overwhelmed.
You have set your iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance.
For all our days pass away under your wrath. Our years come to an end like a sigh.
The days of our life are 70 years, or perhaps 80, if we are strong. Even then, their span is only toil and trouble. They are soon gone, and we fly away.
Who considers the power of your anger? Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due you.
So teach us to count our days, that we may gain a wise heart.
Turn, O Lord, how long? Have compassion on your servants.
Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, so that we may rejoice and be glad all our days.
Make us glad as many days as you have afflicted us, and as many years as we have seen evil.
Let your work be manifest in your servants, and your glorious power to their children.
Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and prosper for us the work of our hands. O prosper the work of our hands. Our third reading comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading verses 14 to 31. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our most respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work powerful deeds? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. Please join us in singing hymn number 565, Come My Way, My Truth, My Life. The words will be either in the hymn book or on the screens before you.
And we continue to read from God's word as it is given in John chapter 14, reading verses 1 to 17. Let us listen for God's word to his people. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Now Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. And Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and still you do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Whoever has seen me, how can you then say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you. Amen. And may God bless to our hearts the reading of these portions of his own holy word. And to his name be the honor and glory, now and forevermore. Friends in Christ, what I say to you this morning is proclaimed in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sometimes life surprises you. During our travels this summer, we pulled into a hotel in Florenceville, New Brunswick, for the night. And as I was waiting to check in, I happened to overhear the conversation between the desk clerk and the woman who was standing in front of me. The desk clerk happened to mention to her that this woman was about to book the last room in the hotel. And that kind of surprised me. I don't know if you're familiar with Florenceville, New Brunswick. Gail, I know you are, but for the rest. But, well, Florenceville isn't a destination, I think is perhaps the good way to say it. It's got a great hotel, though. I'm going to say that right now. But it's not a destination. Florenceville is a small community, and now that the new highway has gone through New Brunswick, it seems even smaller because you don't go down into the village. You stay up at the top of the hillside. And so Florenceville, for all intents and purposes, is a filling station, a couple of businesses, and the hotel. Now, don't get me wrong. The hotel in which we stayed in Florenceville is conveniently located right next to Potato World, where I'm sure you can learn anything that you need to know about the local crop. But Florenceville was always a modest town, and the Florenceville that you see from the highway, even more so. but the hotel in Florenceville. All summer long is filled with people. People passing through. This morning, Jesus teaches his disciples about the kingdom of God. This morning, we begin to explore this last section of John's gospel that we're going to look at this year. And all God's people said, hooray! It's been a long year through the gospel of John. It's not something we preach on a regular basis. So it's good to get into some of these things. And it's nice to have the opportunity as your preacher to actually preach texts like this one this morning. Ones that we hear all too often, but that never really get the attention they deserve. This particular text, "In my Father's house there is many mansions," I preach a lot. It's one of those texts that comes up in funerals, so I don't even want to estimate how often I've shared this text in a funeral. And yet, a funeral is a different place than regular morning worship, where we really have the opportunity to dig into the text. And one of the things that I found this week as I was looking at this text is that there's really about three sermons here. Well, there's the whole 17 verses, I can probably stretch out to four or five sermons, not all of which I'm going to share with you this morning, praise be to God. But it was difficult to kind of narrow it down because about midweek I kind of started to think there's about a 20-point sermon here. And the various themes were vying for my attention. So you get this morning just a sliver still of John chapter 14, and this, the beginning section of Jesus' farewell discourses. Now, the farewell discourse is a series of teachings that goes from John chapter 14 to John chapter 17. It's teachings that Jesus shares with his disciples alone. It's not public ministry. It's private for those who have been followed him and have loved him most dearly. They lie between Jesus' celebration of the Passover and his arrest and crucifixion. And they contain several well-known passages from Scripture, perhaps none more so than these words: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you unto myself, so that where I am, there you will be also." Immediately before those words, Jesus has celebrated the Passover with his disciples, an event that was confusing and challenging for his disciples. If you recall the passage of Scripture, the events that we rehearse each Monday, Thursday, there is this great role reversal as Jesus welcomes the disciples into the Passover feast, where Jesus sets aside his status as teacher to become servant and to wash their feet. There is his prediction about Judas betraying him. There is the acknowledgement that his life is coming to an end. And there is a prediction that all of the disciples will fall away and that even Peter will deny him. It's understandable then that Jesus' first words today to his disciples are, "Do not be afraid." Because surely the disciples must have been racked with confusion and doubt after witnessing all of that. And the offer of a new reality, a vision of the kingdom of God, is given to them. In my Father's house, there are many abiding places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go and prepare a place for you so that then I can come back and take you to me? In his classic commentary on John's Gospel, C.K. Barrett notes that this reference to God's house, in my Father's house are many mansions, many abiding places, is indeed a reference to the temple in Jerusalem. Think, it's as we hear in Psalm 122 and other psalms throughout the Psalter. You know, we rehearse these words. I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. The destination in all of these passages of Scripture that we know well and can quote by heart is not some heavenly abode far away. It's something much nearer. It was for the people of God, the place where they were going to worship. It was that great center of the festival of their religion. Therefore, the destination here is not something that is far and unfamiliar. The disciples are in Jerusalem. The temple is just there. And yet we know that there is more to this promise than that. Those who did the Bible study through John that ended last spring, the fall before and last spring, will remember often there's this, but then there's that. And this passage is no exception. There's more to the promise than just an earthly worship place. Jesus speaks in this text about his going, I go to prepare a place for you, and his coming. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. It is important for us to remember that the temple in Jerusalem, as understood by the people in Jesus' day, was more than just a hall of worship. The children of God in Jesus' day believed that there at the temple in the Holy of Holies, that most exclusive place within the temple, the place that only the priest could enter and only at certain times of the year, the place which held the Ark of the Covenant, that place was the very footstool of God. That God was present in the Holy of Holies. So that in some ways the temple in Jerusalem really was God's home. But it was just part of God's home. The front vestibule maybe, or the sun porch of a much greater habitation with the feet of God on earth, but the throne of God sitting in heaven above. And as Jesus utters these words of promise, that I go to prepare a place for you and I return to welcome you into it, all of the limitations and all of the laws that excluded people from the presence of God, all of the things that set that Holy of Holy apart in the temple are stripped away. All of the ritual laws of cleanliness have been removed. All will be welcome. God's house in John chapter 14 is a house of abundance where all will welcome, all and more. The real import of the words of this text is not just that there will be sufficient, that all of the travelers who have arrived will have a place, and by the end of the night, when the lady before me pays with her credit card, the hotel will be full. No, the image that is portrayed in this text is really that God's house is a place that will never be full. That God has an abundance of space for us and to share. As I was thinking about the text for this week, John chapter 14, however, two other texts started to creep into my mind. Two other passages of Scripture, and we're going to hear about them in a couple of months, too. The first text was this one. The first text was the visit of the angel Gabriel to a young girl named Mary. And Gabriel's first words to Mary were, "Fear not." And the angel then goes on to speak of the great leveling of the kingdom of God, where the poor and the humble will be lifted up, and the rich and those who are sufficient will be sent away. There too we hear in that text of the great extravagance of the kingdom of God. That it's not just that there will be enough, not just that there will be sufficient, but it will be grace overflowing. And we are reminded that the inbreaking of the kingdom is always disorienting. It was as it broke in upon Mary. It was as it broke in upon the disciples in the text this morning. And it is, or I would suggest, it should be even for us today. The kingdom challenges everything. And the other text that rang out in my mind was the Christmas story itself. And Mary and Joseph traveling to Bethlehem, where they are greeted at the door of the inn with, "There is no room here for you." But here, at the end of the gospel story, the other end of the gospel story, because, of course, the birth is the first end, the beginning. But here, at the other end, Jesus comforts his disciples and declares the conclusion of his earthly ministry, that all the limitations and all of the obstacles have been stripped away. Jesus declares that there is room, that the fullness of his mission has been completed. In God's kingdom, unlike this world in which we live, there is room for you. There is room for all. It is the great climax of his life and ministry that Jesus attempts to share with the disciples in these farewell discourses, and which he shares with us, that we are called to keep our eyes set and focused upon the kingdom of God, of which the blessings there are no end, and to place our trust in him and to acknowledge that Christ leads us beyond this world into a place of hope and riches beyond belief. And the kingdom that he holds out to us drives out all of our fear, all of our despair, all of our searching And in the end, we are welcomed into a place called home. Home in the presence of God. Amen. God has manifested his work among us and prospered the work of our hands that we might share God's blessings with the world. Let us now present our tithes and offerings. Let us pray. We are not our own. We belong to you. You have created us and given us life anew. O God, our Creator, our Savior, and our Sustainer. We extend our arms now and open our hands to present our offerings to you. We make these gestures to display outwardly our heart's overflowing gratitude for all your gifts. Receive these gifts from us, O Triune God, and through them bring life and hope to many. In the name of Jesus Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray these things. Amen. Let us continue now in prayer. Let us pray. God of authority and authenticity, we come before you today, glad to know you give us the chance to change our lives when we have wandered away from your purposes. We give you thanks for the encouragement and support we receive from friends in Christ here in our church and wherever we meet them. We thank you for relationships that have grown stronger through the courage to forgive which you inspire in us. Use us as signs and servants of the new possibilities you create. Christ, our companion, make our community one that lives out your grace and mercy. Today we pray for those among us and around us who are struggling to live wisely and well, who seek a way of integrity for the future. We pray for those who are confronting addictions or trying to change old habits that are harmful to health. Give them persistence and support. We pray for those who want to end violence and anger in their lives. Give them courage and wisdom to walk in a new way. We pray for those who have broken the law and now seek to make amends. Teach them good judgment in action and relationships. We pray for those who have broken their word and want to rebuild trust and integrity. Show them how to take responsibility and to live it out in their lives. We pray for those who are seeking new work, learning new skills, or changing employment. Open new opportunities for them. We pray for all of us who seek new ways to live out our faith in this church and in our community. Help us communicate God's love in fresh ways so that others may catch the vision of your love. And we pray for all those for whom the week ahead will hold deep challenges and who need your support and ours to face what the days will bring. We pray this day for Brian Kwan as he awaits treatment and for those we name now in the silence of our hearts. Spirit of transforming power, work in us and in all for whom we pray. As we draw all our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 332 in the Book of Praise. How great thou art. 332 in the Book of Praise, or the words before you on the screen. Now let us go forth from this place, seeking to love and serve the world in all that you do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you. May the Lord smile graciously into your life and give you peace this day and forevermore. Amen.